scratch about.
You gotta put it in perspective.
Oh no, here we go again.
If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy!
4, 5, 6.
B.I.G.
I don't much about the Bieber. Never see him. I don't know what he does.
Have you ever heard his song?
No. How's it go?
Baby, 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 oh.
Is that his song?
You know it.
I don't think I'd like it.
I'm 19 years old. I think I'm doing a pretty good job. This is not a gimmick. I'm an artist, and I should be taken seriously, and this all this other bull should not be spoken of.
You know what? You're too young to be smoking pot and peeing in buckets and driving up in the down the highway fast.
And now,
if at first you don't succeed, keep on sucking till you do succeed.
Our feature presentation.
That's our motto.
Mm-hmm.
Morning, everybody. Brand new Kevin and Bean Show. It is 5:36. It is Tuesday, the 1st of Rocktober.
Oh, Rocktober.
It's Rocktober.
Does KLOS still do Rocktober? Does anyone listen to know?
I don't listen to know, but I guarantee they do.
Do they still do Two for Tuesday?
I'm sure. I don't know.
Are they still getting the lead out and putting some zap in your step?
They're not really creating new stuff over there.
Okay. Really. Mark and Bryant are still there, though, right?
Yeah. That's going to be forever.
Hey, before we get started on today's all-new Kevin and Bean Show, we do have a terrific program. I just want to make sure I understand this correctly.
Yes.
So with the government shutdown, we can get us a TV, right?
Yeah, this is like The Purge. Remember that movie? Like,
right.
One night a year, there's no police.
No law, right?
Right. I think that's accurate.
I'm totally going to get me a TV.
But you have
this
a
is
TV.
Awesome. I know, but I was planning on getting a new one. I was waiting for the Lakers to win a championship, and then that didn't happen. And now I guess I could wait and see if the Dodgers win the World Series, because that would be another good opportunity for cover to get
right.
a TV. But then I thought, why wait? The government shutdown. That's all the cover I need.
I think I'm you should go
today.
For it.
Yeah. I'm going out today. Yeah. Well, I couldn't wait till the next edition of What's Up with Florida, because we just did that yesterday, and this story is too good to save for the next round. This came out of Castleberry. Here's a woman. She's a stripper, Kevin.
Okay.
She was arrested on indecent exposure charges. She was found – well, let me take it back to the beginning before I tell you when she got arrested. First, the neighbors called. Ayana Alexander is her name. She's 20 years old. She's very attractive, as strippers can be.
All right.
Neighbors in her apartment complex called the police because she was sitting naked in the road. Now, why do you call the police if there's a stripper in your apartment complex who's sitting naked in the road? Don't you just let that play out?
I think you just make a mental note and go, today's going to be a good day.
Right. So the police arrive, and by that time, the woman was dressed again. It was back in her apartment. So she speaks with the police, and she asks the officer, Ryan McIntosh, she says, hey, can I get a ride to work? And the police officer? Yes. Believe it or not, the police officer calls into headquarters and asks his boss, hey, this stripper wants me to give her a ride to Rachel's Gentleman's Club. Is it okay if I give her a ride?
Do you think the guy on the other end does what we do, which is she hot?
Yeah, well, yeah, she's working as a stripper at Rachel's, right?
Then go ahead.
Believe it or not, he gives permission for the police officer to give her a ride. So far, so good. So he takes her, drops her off at work. Well, a few minutes later, less than an hour later, the phone rings again at the police, and they say, hey, we've got a naked woman at this Bob Evans restaurant near the strip club. And sure enough, it's our girlfriend. She's gone to the restaurant. She has taken off her clothes. She's sitting on – first of all, she walks in. She starts knocking everything off the hostess desk. She throws the menus off and the mints and everything like that. Then she takes off her clothes and goes and sits on a bench and waits for the police to arrive. She says her reason was she didn't feel like working today.
Well, that's a valid reason.
So she went and stripped in a restaurant, caused a ruckus, and waited to be arrested because she wanted to go to jail to get out of work for the day. Can't you just call in sick?
Wow, no kidding.
Look, if I don't work on the radio, I don't go sit on a park bench somewhere and just do a radio show. I take the day off.
Yeah, that's weird. Maybe she had taken so many days off that she needed a better excuse.
Oh, maybe so. Maybe she was all out of, I don't feel like going to work days, maybe.
Yeah.
But I want to live in her apartment complex.
I do too.
I want to eat at the Bob Evans restaurant. I want to be on that the police force in Castlebury, Florida. This story just has everything. May have to move to Florida.
Yeah. You know, we should do a phone topic one day for real about seriously. Why are 90% of these stories coming out of Florida?
I know we joke and all, but yeah, what's up?
Right. Seriously. I don't understand how it could possibly be not evenly distributed throughout the United States.
Yeah.
But it sure isn't.
That's good times right there.
All right. Let's talk about today's Kevin DeBean Show, shall we?
That's not correct. That is invalid. Completely invalid.
Adam Carolla will be here with This Week in Rage.
Eh.
Max Greenfield will be on the program. Schmidt from New Girl.
Yeah.
Love him. Petros Papadakis will be here, talking about whether he's going to accept the new head coaching position at USC or not.
I hope he does. I hope he takes it.
I do too. We have a I can't tell you about that because that's a surprise. We have Rush. Can't tell you about that. We have Jeff Garland. We have Jeff Garland talking about the Goldbergs. We'll talk to him about anything, won't we? I love Jeff Garland.
Yes, I love Jeff Garland too.
Donald Logue talking about the awesome Sons of Anarchy. And his role on that is coming up as well. And we'll take a break and come back with the Showbiz Beat next on 106.7 K-Rock. It's KROQ, and you are listening to the Kevin and Bean Show. It is 5:53.
Woo! Hey, Ralph Garman.
Woo! 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 I think he's saying what in Woo language.
Woo! You know what,
you know
what Kevin never heard while he was on vacation last week?
What did I never hear?
Nope. Ralph Garman ordered up the flame of fire as Full Bounty host Jake Montrose on this Spike TV show, revived in 2013. Matt.
What is the Joe Schmo show?
Oh.
That happened on TV?
Never heard me on Jeopardy?
Oh. What?
You don't know Jeopardy's? Jeopardy's Ralph Garman?
There's a clue on Jeopardy. You didn't hear that? You know what happened, Kevin? Years of hard work and doing a lot of stuff finally gets you some attention.
Ralph Garman.
How awesome is that?
Wow.
You get off the party bus once in a while and you work.
I did, and it was very painful.
You do hard work and you try to keep busy and you put yourself out there. Eventually people start to recognize the impact you've had on popular culture.
How about that?
So there we go. We got a celebrity in our midst now.
Isn't that something? The award-winning Ralph Garman now with a look at the Showbiz Beat.
You were on Jeopardy that one time. Remember, you were a clue for Jeopardy?
I wasn't.
Oh, no. That
never
wasn't
really. No.
Well, Bean was.
No.
No.
No, mm-hmm. I wasn't either.
Just you. Wasn't there one clue where Alex Trebek said, these radio douchebags once killed a chick?
I don't think so.
That? No, no.
I don't think that's accurate.
I think you're thinking of
Gene Baxter and Kevin Ryder were lying.
That was a completely different show.
Robert Stack. It wasn't
that's
Alex
right.
Trebek.
Yeah. No.
I remember you guys being on television for something.
Ralph Garman.
Yeah. Well, it's official. After months of speculation about Amanda Bynes' mental state.
She crazy?
Well, more or less. The formal diagnosis has been announced. While Amanda was being treated at the UCLA Medical Center, she does indeed, according to spokespeople, have schizophrenia and bipolar disorder.
Amanda, please, .com.
Difficult process for Amanda's parents, as you can imagine, but she is currently being treated in a facility now outside of Los Angeles, having been moved from the UCLA Medical Center. And by all accounts, she's responding well to medication and therapy, and things are looking bright, but they're looking up.
How weird it must be if you really do have that kind of mental condition to look back at the headlines and the news reports about what you were doing, you know, when she was in New York and she was going through all that craziness.
Yeah, it kind of sucks all the fun out of it, that's
yeah,
for sure.
It sure does.
I don't feel nearly as good about laughing about it as I used to, but so we've all expected it, and now it looks like that's the case. So. Congratulations to Discovery Channel. They know what America wants. They give them more and more. Let's say you love Duck Dynasty, one of their popular shows over there, right?
Gotta
love the ducks. Because, you know, the pheasant is the filet mignon.
No,
the
that's the... Oh, I believe that's the dove.
The dove.
The dove.
And hunting doves, it's one of my most favorite activities. Because doves are the filet mignon of the sky.
That's what I meant to say, doves. And the like American pickers.
Okay.
Let's take those two and crossbreed them. That means you're gonna love Dukes of Haggle. Yep, the Dukes of Haggle.
What does that mean?
It means rednecks,
right?
Bartering their way across America, across the back roads of the American South. They show up down south to barter at barns, swap meets, and other less so likely places in the South.
I need a tank of gas. I'll give you my piglet for it.
Right.
USA! USA! USA!
And then apparently at the end of each episode, they get together at an auction house, and then they try to auction off the items that they've bartered for, and whoever gets the most money wins the Dukes of Haggle Award.
Yep. Love it. I may have to watch that.
You know what? You should be on it. The Simpsons have announced they're going to kill off one of the regular characters. President of the Simpsons fan club said, "The Simpsons is still on?" They've done this before. 14 years ago, they killed Maude Flanders off. Remember? Ned's wife? Anyone?
I think I had already stopped watching by season 14.
Hello. This thing on?
I don't remember that. No.
Yeah. So they're going to kill her off. Other highlights from a new season of Simpsons? A Simpsons Futurama crossover.
All right.
For the season finale. Also, we're going to get a Family Guy Simpsons crossover.
That I can't wait for.
A wedding for comic book guy.
Oh, nice.
And celebrity voices. Guest stars including Kristen Wiig, Zach Galifianakis, and Elizabeth Moss will all be stopping by. So, still some life in the old Simpsons yet.
What are they up to? Season 24? Something like that?
Sunday's debut was the 25th season of the show.
Season 25.
For 25 years, The Simpsons has been going on. A little nuts, huh? And congratulations to Tadoff Swindler in her continued attempt to take over the world. She's just got a new deal with Diet Coke. They are offering a special limited edition can that features her signature on it. Well, if that doesn't get you drinking Diet Coke, nothing will. With a faux simulated signature of Taylor Swift on the can.
Got to print it on there.
Can't wait to collect it. Bean's going to drill a little hole in the can.
How dare you?
So he can use that in his private time.
First of all, it's going to be a little, big hole. Hey!
Just to get a pencil and just poke the side of the can.
Maybe a sewing needle.
Taylor's people are hoping her relationship with Diet Coke works out. She originally had been spotted out with Pepsi, and then Dr. Pepper, and then Mountain Dew, and then Fanta. And she's gone through a lot of a lot of relationships with sodas. Today's celebrity birthdays. Actress Brie Larson celebrates her 24th birthday today. Actor Zach Galifianakis.
Love him so much.
44 years old today. Yeah, he's pretty terrific. You remember back then, there was a time when we looked at that name and said, who the hell, what? How do you say that name and who is that guy? Now look at him. Actor Isai Morales celebrates his 51st birthday today. And actor Randy Quaid. He's the crazy Quaid, right?
I believe so.
I think so.
Is he the one who thinks the Hollywood Death Squad is out to get him?
I think so, yeah.
I hope he's safe today on his birthday. He's 63 years old today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz.
Bob Hope is in the news. Ralph was talking about him yesterday. It occurs to me, Kevin, there may be some listeners who don't even know who Bob Hope is anymore.
Yeah, that's true.
He's been dead about 10 years. He was 100 when he died, and he was one of the most popular comedians of the 20th century. He had an acting career for about 60 years. He hosted the Academy Awards, I think, 12 or 15 times or something like that.
He's one of those guys that I don't think I ever saw be funny. You know what I mean? Like, I don't hate him, but I just don't find him funny or entertaining.
He was a big, big star. He performed around the world to troops. You know, he did a lot of USO-type shows.
Right.
Well, he died 10 years ago. His wife died. His widow outlived him. She was over 100 when she died. She died a couple years ago. So now their estate over there in Toluca Lake is up for sale. And a lot of people are really interested in this because, A, it's a ginormous house. It's 15,000 square feet. But B, it's on 5 acres in Toluca Lake.
Isn't that crazy?
Most people have like 0.1 acres in Toluca Lake. This is on 5 acres.
Main house has 8 bedrooms. There's a 2-bedroom guest house, both indoor and outdoor swimming pools, a special 1-hole golf course named Dolores. And Ralph said yesterday that there's also some kind of a dungeon. And we found that hard to believe. Some kind of a...
I think he said there was a basement. I think he said there was a basement. I think he was just teasing about the sex dungeon, though. I don't think Bob Hope was involved in anything like that.
I couldn't tell. To me, it sounded like he was being serious.
Well, we asked producer Dave if he could fire up the hotline to heaven. We thought we'd find out ourselves. I think we've got the great Bob Hope on the other side joining us now. Hey, Bob.
Thanks for the memories.
How you doing, buddy?
Hey, Kevin and Bean. How's it going, folks?
Good. Long time no talk. I'm sorry to hear about, of course, your wife passed away now a couple years ago. Did she find you in heaven?
Isn't it? Hey, how about that dying? That's something, huh?
Yeah.
Are you with Dolores now in heaven?
No.
No?
Dolores and I split up.
Oh, you're kidding. I thought you guys were married like 75 years.
Yeah, that's enough. That's enough time.
So you can change partners in heaven?
Oh, sure.
Oh, good news.
That's the great thing about heaven. You can do anything you want.
All right. How about that? I guess so.
Hey,
so
how about that Ronald Reagan, huh?
Yeah, he's been dead a long time, too.
President Reagan, he's crazy.
He's been dead quite a while also, Mr. Hope.
That Congress, they're nuts, huh?
Yeah, now that is true. So listen, Bob.
Hey, how about that Obama?
Oh, you've heard of the president. Okay.
Yeah, sure.
Okay.
Black guy.
Did you have any follow-up or
black
just how
guy.
About that?
Right,
just the
we
black
know.
Guy. No, yeah. No one's really pointing that out down here
anymore.
How about
that black president, huh?
Right. Right.
I thought I'd see that.
Bob, we were hoping more to talk about your house that's up for sale.
Ah, yeah. Toluca Lake, California, everybody.
Yes, $27.5 million.
Yeah. That's something, isn't it?
Yes.
I paid $24.95 when I bought it.
$24.95?
Yeah.
Well, it was 1930, right? I mean,
yeah.
Yeah. What about
land was cheap back then?
Yes.
You go out in the valley, you get yourself a whole orange orchard for like $1.25.
Yeah. Pretty good deal.
What fresh about this? Orange juice? That's good, isn't it?
Yes, it is.
Yeah.
This is you and your terrible friend, conversation.
Vitamin C, folks.
Right.
That's the key.
Learned that from your friend Bing Crosby, did
long
you?
Life. Hey, Der Bingle, he loved his orange juice.
Sure.
Yeah, he did.
Yeah.
Hey,
also listen, loved Bob. To beat his kids.
Yeah.
Ain't that something?
That's not so cool, no.
No, that's something.
Settle some controversy for us because
Bean, how you guys doing?
We're fine. But our entertainment reporter, Ralph, he said he made a joke yesterday about you using the basement in your Toluca Lake mansion as a sex dungeon. I think he was just kidding about that. You're not into that.
I want to tell you, folks, I don't like when people talk about me like that.
Oh, okay. So that's all not right. True.
And it was just a joke by Ralph.
I didn't say it wasn't true. I just said I don't like people talking about me like that.
So it is true?
Yeah, that's right, baby. Yeah. Oh. How do you like that? Yeah.
Uh-huh. Oh, no.
Yeah. Lonnie Anderson, everybody. Lonnie Anderson.
She's not dead, Mr. Hope.
What's that?
She's not dead. That's not Lonnie
What's
Anderson.
That?
She's still alive. Who is that then? Who's laughing? Wait, who's in heaven with you?
That's Bing.
Oh, Bing Crosby's right there.
He beats the kids, I beat the ladies.
Oh,
I
man.
Hey. It's not Lonnie Anderson, huh?
No,
it's not.
It's hard to tell with that ball gag and that hood on, you know what I'm saying?
I can't picture you being into the S&M. That doesn't seem right.
Hold on a second. I got to chain up this broad.
Oh, please don't do that.
Hey, Barbara Eden, everybody. Barbara Eden's dead, bud.
Okay. Barbara Eden also very much alive. No, that's not her. She's still on Earth. Barbara Eden is still alive. Jeannie, right? She's still alive.
Yeah. Yeah, I dream of Jeannie, everybody.
Right, but
I dream of Jeannie in chains on the rack. I like to stretch her out on the rack.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
Isn't this supposed to be heaven for the girls?
Daddy. Open up for
on.
Daddy.
Oh, man.
Yeah. How about that kinky sex? That's wild, isn't it?
It is, but it doesn't sound like the girl that you have there is having much fun.
What's that?
It doesn't sound like it doesn't sound like the woman there is enjoying herself.
Yeah, Barbara Mandrell, everybody.
I don't even know who that is.
All right, let me try this one. Reba McEntire, everybody.
Both still alive. Oh, Bob, please. It's supposed to be heaven for the ladies, too. Let them go.
It is heaven for the ladies.
Don't whip them.
Like a little Bob Hope's putter, if you know what I'm saying.
All right. I'm uncomfortable.
Time to hit the links.
It's time to hit the goodbye button.
Time to hit the links.
Yeah, all right.
Yeah, chain links, you know what I'm saying?
All right, Bob.
I tell you, folks.
We got to go.
Yeah, that's wild, isn't it?
Right into this world.
There it is. Kevin DeBeach Show, K-Rock. Sons of Anarchy on tonight. I don't know. I feel like this season has been an upper, Kevin. What do you think?
Oh, yeah. Laugh riot.
We couldn't be more excited. We've been really looking forward to talking to Donald Logue from Sons of Anarchy. He, of course, has all the jobs in TV because he is also currently starring in The Vikings on the History Channel and Copper on BBC America. So he's the reason most actors are out of work, ladies and gentlemen. Please welcome Donald Logue to the Kevin and Bean Show. Hi,
How's
Donald.
How's it going?
It's going
How's
well. How's it going with you, sir?
It's going well. I'm in Dublin right now, it's great to talk to you guys.
Are you over there doing the Vikings right now? Are you being the king right now?
Yeah. I don't feel like too much of a king, but that's what I'm doing. At least that's what my part is.
Now, Now, Donald, you've been acting for a long time, and we've seen you in a million movies and TV shows, but I don't know that anything has hit me in the gut the way your character has on Sons of Anarchy. How does it feel to you playing this intense character on that show?
It's there's so many things, because I'm friends with Kurt, and the people are so cool, so the environment that we make it in is great, but I definitely would drive home from work incredibly disturbed by what I had done.
By your character. You know, it's funny, in the bio it says that your character is a, quote, slightly unhinged former U.S. Marshal.
Yeah, maybe he was slightly unhinged at the end of last year, but he's full tilt boogie kind of this year.
Yeah, he's full on right now.
Yeah, it's pretty intense.
I guess he's a guy, and I don't know what kind of process you go through as an actor to play him so convincingly and so terrifyingly, but to me, he's just a guy who has a very clear purpose. He has one mission, and he is going to do whatever it takes to accomplish that mission, and he's able to rationalize any kind of behavior as long as it serves toward his end.
You nailed it. That's precisely it. Like, well, how pure would it be if that's you had just one mission and you weren't kind of confined by any morality in terms of what you had to do to accomplish it? That being said, I think he made some miscues that you wouldn't have done necessarily or whatever. But, you know, yeah, it's like playing a machine, you know,
yeah.
And it's fun, and it's really good. I have to say, I kind of like it, but I'm not there right now, so I'm coming back. But I've received so much kind of hate email. And
all right.
I think part of you has to think, like, well, I guess I'm doing it pretty well then, you know? That's what we are, you know, he's certainly not a likable, attractive kind of good character. So, I mean, he's a far cry from Jimmy McBride and the stuff I've done in the past, but it's really, you know, it's been a real blast. But I have to say there's kind of a similarity between the guy in Copper and King Horik. They're all these Machiavellian guys who, you know, the end justify any means but it's dark. It's really dark.
I got to tell you, it's sort of fun in that there are a lot of characters on TV that do bad things, but they sort of try to hide their agenda, and they sort of try to tell people, you know, better stories than are the truth, and you just go, look, I don't care. My sister's dead, and I'm going to take down as many people as I can.
Yeah, it's really interesting.
Love that.
There's no need to try and wink or to try and pretend that you're better or win sympathy, and I think the clock's ticking. I don't know. You know, it's interesting because I don't know everything. The one thing that's really amazing to me is that Kurt Sutter kind of wrote this. He wrote the twister that you step into. So in a way, I think a lot of people would have played this part similarly because it was just written really well. And but it's just it's really clean in this way where he doesn't. Yeah, you don't have to be this charming guy who turns out to have this kind of dark underbelly. It's just he is who he is.
We had
felt so rigid and uptight and kind of. You know, he was just like a kind of computer of retribution in this weird way.
Right. This is the voice of an actor, Donald Logue, here on the Kevin DeBean Show. We're talking about, among other things, Sons of Anarchy, which, of course, is on tonight, as it is every Tuesday night on FX. We had Kurt Sutter in here, creator of the program, a couple of weeks ago, and he said that he had been trying to get you on Sons of Anarchy almost since the beginning, and this is the first time your schedule has allowed it. So he had other roles he was going to have you play, and I guess it's probably awesome that it worked out this way.
Yeah, and it was great it worked out this way, but it was such a bummer because in years past, I mean, I have been really busy, and I'm incredibly fortunate and grateful, but there had been 2 years in a row where I'd done something like a pilot in November that didn't get picked up, and you really can't work until June. And so you sit on your hands, and I have a conversation with him, but I wouldn't legally be available. I couldn't take a chance, and so you just kind of watch the ship sail from the harbor a couple of times, so it was really great this time that it worked out.
Go ahead. I'm sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt, but that has to be so frustrating in that you did something, but you're not currently doing anything except for waiting.
Exactly. There's a lot of that goes on, and it's just part of it, you know. And actually, last year I thought I had a job, and I didn't have it, which luckily, of course, opened the door for the jobs I have. So it's that hard thing in life where you can't trust that if something falls through, the kind of the old door closes and window open.
Right.
But someone, I was going to get a job, it looked like it, and then someone else wanted somebody else, and it, I was sitting there with a passport, and I didn't travel, and so I thought, you know, I was watching my son skateboard, and I thought, you know, you should write a book, which I did. I wrote a novel last year, and just because in some way you have to take back a little bit of creative control, not knowing if you can do anything with it or not, but just to feel like you're not waiting for somebody, and I don't mean that they're bad people. I don't mean to.
Right, it's just waiting.
A lot of them are great people, but like that someone says, nah, not you. And so much so, you know, like, you're like, wait a second, I got kids in school. I got a house. Whoa, you can't just say not me. But so, you know, like, and you guys, you created your own world. You kind of, you fought your way to have your platform. And so, you know, you just try and keep as many of those things bouncing around, I think, as much as possible.
Donald, let me ask you about being in a world of Sons of Anarchy where secrecy seems to be the word on the set. I mean, they do a great job. Kurt is one of those guys who's able to keep things locked down. There are very few leaks from that show. Were you comfortable with that? Because you must get bugged all the time from people who are dying to know what you know about what's coming up.
I think it's fantastic. And other shows, you know, it's they're so successful now. I remember I did a show, I think last time I spoke with you guys was Knights of Prosperity, this we're ripping Mick Jagger off show.
Right.
And we were next door to The Sopranos when they were filming in New York, and they were amazing at that, too. It was like, you know, there's no casually strolling on their set.
Right.
They all seemed like nice people, but there was no, like, what's up over here? And, you know, and so many people are waiting every week to see what happens. Last year I was doing a film called CBGB, and I saw Ryan Hurst on the set, and I was like, wait a second, aren't you supposed to be doing Sons right now? And then he was like, yeah, you know, well, not really. You know, he was good about keeping a secret, and you know, it was a secret.
That's right.
You know, so it was, yeah, they're great that way. And even on something like Vikings that just started, they're so kind of wide open that you tell people, you know, people might want to start just anticipating that people get invested in this world and they don't want to know that much about it,
right,
other than what you see. And it's, I mean, that's just our, like, even with Lee Torque, it's just your job. And even if you get people like it or people hate it, it's kind of like you just have to show up and do your thing. And the extraneous stuff is whatever it is. And, you know, just trying to do our job, creating this little fictional universe that Kurt Sutter's been so brilliant at putting together, you know, almost single-handedly, although he has an incredible group of writers and directors and obviously cast. But, you know, it's bizarre in this way that it's this make-believe world, but a lot of people in the world invest a lot.
Well, it's one of the very best shows on TV, and it is just criminally underrated in terms of the acclaim that it gets. I mean, it's just, I don't understand why it hasn't won a million Emmys. It's just so good. We look forward to it so much every Tuesday night at 10 on FX, and your arc of your character is just incredible. When will you be wearing the ponytail again? When are you coming back home to work on Sons again?
Oh, I'm coming back soon. So, yeah, I'm just bouncing back and forth. It's a little bit crazy, but fantastic, you know. And it was weird because a couple of years ago after Terriers, I really honestly was like, man, I don't know. I kind of went off the treadmill a little bit. So I got involved in some other weird stuff like truck driving and getting a trucking company together. But it seemed like maybe that's the Zen move everyone should make in life. Is as soon as you kind of feel like you want to walk away from something, it comes running at you twice as hard.
Hey, every actor should have a backup plan. And you've always got that Class A license, man.
That's it. I love it too. Out of, you know, so yeah, I haven't driven a truck for a while since January, but yeah, back up. Like, let's just keep your life really interesting and keep it out there and keep turning over rocks on planet Earth. You know, so
there you go.
But
there's,
I was
the
really
takeaway.
Fortunate to work with Sons. I mean, that Kurt is a great friend and an amazing guy, and that cast just couldn't be any better or more. And what's interesting, because they are it's kind of like the super cool kids hanging by the pool, smoking cigarettes in high school. You know, in a way it's not intimidating because they're not like that. They're so welcome and opening. So, but you have to show up with your stuff together. You can't show up unprepared, and
right,
it's a kind of tight environment that way. So, which I appreciate.
Tonight at 10, FX, every Tuesday, Sons of Anarchy. Donald Logue, folks, calling us from Dublin, Ireland.
Thank you guys so much.
Thanks for the time.
This is the Kevin and Bean Show at 6:55.
Comedian Jeff Garland joins us later on the program. Petros Papadakis will be here talking USC football. And Schmidt from The New Girl, actor Max Greenfield, all coming up. Right now, Ralph's got the showbiz beat. Hey, Ralph.
Hey. Everyone hates the Kardashians.
Something we can all agree on.
Right? I mean, she's the worst. Kris Jenner, the worst.
By far.
By far. The worst person ever. Worse than Hitler, worse than Stalin, worse.
I don't know that I'd go that far, but all right.
Satan, worse than all of those people. Bruce Jenner recently had some skin cancer on his face. According to Star Magazine, he was having it removed. He was undergoing surgery in the hospital. And his wife, Kris Jenner, was right there by his side. Wait a minute. She was off partying in Mexico at Girls Gone Wild creator's house, Joe Francis. With Joe Francis, partying with him in Mexico. While Bruce is undergoing the knife, as if that poor bastard hasn't had enough knives around his face over the years.
What's he going to look like now when he comes out?
Yeah. Having cancerous skin removed from his face while Kris was partying with Joe Francis.
I know that on the surface that looks bad, but isn't that better for him? I mean, to not have her there?
Yeah,
she's the devil.
Then just get rid of her.
I agree.
Did you see the story? I don't know if we did it here or not. I might have done it on Hollywood Babylon, but... Kendall or Kylie or Chlamydia, one of the younger
Chlamydia
Jenner girls,
yeah,
released her new photos for a catalog of her in bikinis.
We did talk about this on the air, yes.
And the next day, Kris Jenner releases a photograph of herself in a bikini by the family pool.
Hey, I'm sexy too,
couldn't
everybody.
Bear for a second that her hot 17-year-old girl was getting attention, so she had to put pictures of her in a bikini up online.
She is the worst.
And apparently, Khloe's not much better. Lamar Odom's dad, Joe, is now speaking out against the Kardashian family. He thinks that Khloe and her family are the ones responsible for his son's problems. That Lamar's getting high and getting loaded to get away and escape from the family and the pressure that they bear down on an in-law.
Yeah. That can't be fun, but I'm not sure you can blame all of druggies on that.
He tells Star Magazine that Khloe isn't as nice as she seems, and certainly neither is her mother, Kris Jenner. His words, not mine. She's an evil bitch. She doesn't care about Lamar. She just cares about their image and money regarding Kris Jenner. Seems about right, doesn't
yeah,
it?
Yeah, unfortunately, that's accurate.
Hey, I can't wait to start watching that new show, Breaking Bad. Are you watching that? Apparently, it's going to be, I'm looking forward to it. It's a story of a guy who makes meth or something.
Ralph,
what?
They canceled it already?
I was looking forward to seeing it. I heard a lot about it this week. Everybody was talking about it.
It just ended after five seasons on Sunday night. It was the last one.
What?
Just had the finale.
Someone hit him on the back. Can't reach.
Actually, numbers are in for Sunday night's finale of Breaking Bad. Not good, but great ratings. 10.3 million viewers.
Now, explain to me why people who obviously don't watch Breaking Bad would tune in to watch the finale.
Oh, you foolish mortal. Here's what happens, is that all those people do watch Breaking Bad. They just don't watch it when it airs. They're watching it via DVR or via Netflix or Hulu or from other sources, but for the finale, they could not bear to wait a moment longer than necessary, and so they made themselves tune in to the actual broadcast itself.
Okay.
So you get every viewer from every possible outlet all tuning in to AMC to see the magic in the finale episode.
Except for bad people like our friend Andrew Siciliano, who's still on season 3.
The original episode, the first episode of Breaking Bad?
Yes.
Pulled in 1.4 million viewers 5 years ago. 1.4 million. The finale, 10.3 million.
Yeah, it was a good show.
That's the growth of that show right there. That's all you need to know. Pretty strong. Pretty strong indeed. Let's talk about today's celebrity birthdays. Randy Quaid of the acting Quaid brothers is 63 years old today. Isai Morales, my old NYPD Blue co-star, celebrates. Why do you laugh?
He was on NYPD Blue.
As was I. So we're co-stars.
A couple times.
51 years old today. Zach Galifianakis. 44 years old today. Actress Brie Larson celebrates her 24th birthday. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz. Where is it?
It's banned.
Where is it?
Banned.
Two awesome things happening today here on K-Rock. One, Arctic Monkeys playing the Red Bull Sound Space at 1 o'clock this afternoon. You can see that streamed through K-Rock.com. I love that band. I love the new album, Arctic Monkeys, today
Arctic.
At 1. Arctic.
Not Arctic. Arctic.
No.
I think probably both are fine.
Two,
they're monkeys. That's all you need to know.
Two, today's the 1st of October. That means it's Halloween spooks time.
Nope.
Yep.
No. Halloween spooks, ladies and gentlemen.
We're
so close
Bean,
to Halloween.
Bean, push stop, please. Push stop, please.
Wait, hold on.
I just have a point.
Halloween spook. What? That's.
Halloween.
But
this song, A, blows, and B, blows.
First of all it's A, great, and B, greater.
I love Halloween. But
yeah,
I
know that about you.
I love
you have your decorations up.
And I love scary movies. I love scary music. This is just BS, and they're going, ooh.
What's your favorite scary music song? Kev, what's your favorite scary music song?
Did I say scary music song?
Yeah. Kevin loves scary music.
You love scary music. What's your most terrifying piece of music that you like to listen to?
I can tell you what I don't like to listen to.
I know what I like listening to.
And that's Halloween spooks.
Halloween spooks.
Now, I'd love for you guys to be able to play that and all.
But, we can, and we will.
We handle things on this program when we have an argument, and it's called the scientific survey. Now, what that happens is we have the listeners on hold before we bring up the topic, so they're not calling for anything specific. And then we ask them what to do. And last year, at the beginning of October, we did a scientific survey, and the people said no.
The people said, no, we cannot play Halloween
that
spooks.
That is correct, Bean.
But the people
voted and said no, and we are legally binded by that.
Isn't your impression, Ralph, that the kids already have been emailing and calling the Afro line and calling the request line asking for Halloween spooks?
Yes.
Because that is the Halloween season. That's what means Halloween.
Did we not do a scientific survey?
I don't remember a scientific survey.
I have proof.
Survey either.
I have proof.
I don't remember anything like that happening.
I have the five calls that we took last year at the beginning of October. Or actually, I think this was just before like the 30th or so, 29th or 30th of October.
And they said they voted to never play Halloween spooks again?
That's correct. Here it is.
If the kids decide that Halloween spooks is out, then we're done with it. Then it's going to be a Halloween spooks free Halloween. So don't let that happen.
No.
Hey, wait a minute. Hold on. What's with all the edits?
What edits?
What's all that big jump cuts there? Big chunks of...
Bean says if the kids vote no, then we're legally bound by it.
Yeah, but there's big chunks of Bean talking that have been snipped out of that clip.
If the kids decide that Halloween Spooks is out, then we're done with it. Then it's going to be a Halloween Spooks Halloween. So don't let that happen.
No, please.
What are you talking about?
Well, someone took a hatchet to that tape is what I'm saying.
Here are the calls.
Christine, Kevin, a lot of power. What do you think?
Kevin, I really love you, but sorry. I'm totally for it.
Yes.
All right.
Russ?
So there was one. There was one yes, and then we went to Russ.
Mm-hmm. You're up next, my friend. What say you?
No.
Now it's a race.
1-1. Edgar, line 3, Halloween spooks. Do we keep playing it, or is it done for...
Hell, no.
What was that cut?
What are you talking about?
Is it done for?
And then
there
was done forever. Well, that's what happens.
No, you didn't say forever there. Something was cut out.
That's
there.
What happens with a scientific survey.
Is it possible that what I said last year, and I have no memory of this, is it's done for this year? Meaning
don't
that
be
we
ridiculous. Have we ever done a scientific survey for a year?
Well, apparently, maybe we have. If we could hear the tape.
This
uncut.
Is the tape.
Well, I'd like to hear it uncut.
Line
please,
3,
though.
Halloween spooks. Do we keep playing it, or is it done for?
Hell ever.
See,
no.
Wait
yes!
a minute. Again, it sounds
Justin,
like
Justin, it's on you, buddy. What do you think?
What?
A sudden cut there. So
I didn't hear
clipping
a cut.
Off something Bean was saying after
I
that.
I don't know what you're
is
talking about.
Is it done for... He was going to say something. Could it be possible he said done for this year? And meaning that this year
I mean,
now,
you
but
could
a
add,
year later...
You could add to it whatever you think you want to add to it.
Do
you
have any of the
with
tape
that.
Uncut? Do we have any uncut tape?
No.
It's a keeper.
So what?
Oh!
Yeah! Art is going to be the deciding factor. So one person.
All right. So it was 2-2.
Uh-huh. Listen to the Kevin and Bean show today. Decides whether everybody gets to hear Halloween spooks anymore or not.
Art.
Hi, Art.
Shut up, Lisa.
How are you doing today?
Out of here.
Yeah.
Art. Damn you.
Art rules. Art rules. Art rules. Hold on for what?
I want to hear from Art. I want to hear how why Art
Who
voted
cares?
The way
he
did.
Voted no.
Ever since I heard that song, I was like, man, that is stupid.
Yep.
That's Kevin's peep right there.
So 3-2.
Stupid and absurd.
3-2 against?
But that's not forever, I don't think.
That was for last year. It sounds like what you've
done. I don't think
edited.
We've ever done a scientific survey for a
year. I think we may have done that. In fact, I think we may have done it in this case last year.
All right, it was just for last year.
But,
that but, means it's a brand new year.
Halloween,
oh.
Halloween.
No, but I, people. Ghostly things are going to happen.
Stop it right there. All right. I want people to listen to the part now, and I want
part.
You to tell me that we should play this, you a-holes. I want to hit someone when I hear this. Ooh, scary.
A guy likes scary music as much as you. I'm surprised you don't enjoy this.
What the hell? Now he's gargling! We have to hear people gargle? Does that mean Halloween to you?
Yep.
Yes, it does.
What about this woman? Who wants to put a bullet in her head?
She's a witch, man. She's not just a scary
witch. Witch goes, come on! Have some pride, then.
Yeah, bring it. Yes. This is even better than I remembered it being.
This is terrible. Listen. Come on. Somebody did this and then said, yes,
sounds
that's
like
it.
A goblin. That sounds like a goblin to me.
That is just terrible. Oh, could you be more annoying?
Window.
All right, big finish.
Halloween spooks behind the tree.
I demand a recount.
I wish that the children could see, but I can't find them for the life of me. And it's Halloween spooks outside my window.
That sounds unnecessary.
Yeah! Happy Halloween, everybody. Happy Halloween.
Woo-hoo-hoo!
New scientific survey needed.
Nope.
Didn't ask. I'm calling for one.
Didn't
I'm allowed.
Ask you either.
I'm,
nope.
We'll shut this radio station down.
All right, Boehner.
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ, and you are listening to The Kevin and Bean Show at 23 minutes after 7 o'clock.
We expect to hear from actor-comedian Jeff Garlin in 1 minute.
I'm looking at the phone, and there's usually a check mark or some type of light that's lighting up that says someone's on hold.
I'm not seeing as much of that as I'm seeing none of that.
Right. There is none of that right now. Do we have time for the Fox? Do you want to hear the Fox?
Yes, I do.
I mean Omar's version of the Fox.
Kevin's bad. Bean is too. Bean's a creep and both can't speak. You should boo their stupid show. And it always sounds like poo. Bean's a dick and Kevin's dumb.
Can take us on head. Never mind.
Come on!
What the bean say?
Sounds like somebody with sore grapes. You know, sore grapes. Is that what you have? A sore grapes?
Sure. I've got sore grapes right now.
What the Kevin say?
Are there any things that I've changed my mind in the time since 2013 and with the time you are? President Clinton was sort of young and virulent. Is that the right word?
What the bean say?
Because in a way, it kind of looked like, well, at least all is ends that, you know, whatever that old expression is about all ends that dwells or however, you know what I mean.
All right, he's a dare. What? Who is that? Huh?
What did Kevin say?
Yeah. Were you being a doctor at the point you were acting at any single tickets available, I think, still? If you want to go to Ticketmaster and check it out, I would do that quickly rather than lately.
Traffic.
Thank you, Lucy. Thank you, Lisa.
What the bean say?
Average number of movie titles in which female porn stars
star as women.
This is like when May and Trat, Trat and May rather, when they, what am I trying to say here, Kevin? Matt and Trey, thank you.
What's this is like May from now on.
What did Kevin say?
It's here. 20 for a full side per you don't have any. So crazy, the dirt's so slippery, then you hit the pavement. Sometimes that's more sticky, sometimes it's slipperier, but there are some good accidents. Happen in this, and not just with cars on cars. You hit posts or something else, and it seems like avoiding that is the biggest key to winning that race. See, it's a good thing. That's good old personal. You know what I'm saying?
That is embarrassing.
It's fairly miraculous that we're on the radio,
and it's all from this. That's all from this year.
Yes, 2013's like been a good year.
Homer's in the other studio putting that together, and he's like, "I don't even have to go back to 2012." How is that possible?
I know. Every once in a while, it's good to take the temperature, isn't it?
Oh.
Well, I enjoyed speaking with Jeff Garland.
I did, too. That was fun. That was good fun.
His new show is called The Goldbergs, and it airs tonight at 9 on ABC. So you can either watch it or you can tell him you're going to watch it and then don't actually tune in at the time you said. You could do that instead. Kevin told me earlier today that I misunderstood the government shutdown. I thought that meant that we could go out and get ourselves a free TV. But that's a riot. That's different.
I just tweeted a summary of a whole bunch of tweets from people saying, now that the government is down, does that mean weed is legal? There's like 30 of them.
Really? People,
yeah. Like, can we smoke weed now? Because the government's down?
That's perhaps a misunderstanding. Look, I don't pretend to pay much attention to what's coming out of Washington, D.C., nor do I really care that much. I know that makes me a bad citizen, because most of what happens doesn't really affect your day-to-day life, the truth be told.
I don't even know if this affects us, does it?
I mean, I guess it does. I guess there are probably some services that you might want to go to a national park this weekend and you can't because they're closed. I mean, there are some things affect you on the ground. But the short version of what's happening is the reason the government has shut down this time is unusual. This is the first time in 17 years since the government is shut out. And when I say the government is shut down, I mean Congress has to fund the government and they have not reached an agreement on the funding yet. So at midnight last night, everything closed down. Non-essential personnel are sent home or people are being asked to work without pay. And the reason this breakdown is unusual is the Democrats and the Republicans, who can't agree on anything, are always at odds with one another, hate right. the other side, do everything they can to impede progress. They agree on the budget. That's not the problem. They both have agreed on an amount. They both are willing to vote for the amount. But there are some members of the Republicans who want to stop Obamacare from going into effect today. And what they've done is they've attached that to the vote to continue funding the government. That's what the problem is.
So they say, we don't like it, so yes. We'll pass the budget as long as you don't do that.
That's exactly right. Why are there some people who are so afraid of Obamacare or hate Obamacare so much? Well, one reason is the government can't seem to run anything effectively. So the more you give them to do, the more room there is for screw up. But then there are people on the other side who say, hey, thank God I can finally get health insurance. I haven't been able to get health insurance before because I have a pre-existing condition. Now they can't refuse me health insurance. So there's a lot of sides to this very complicated issue. I'm certainly not qualified to explain it. But we asked producer Dave if he could line up somebody who is completely impartial, who won't get into wait, why are you laughing? Who won't turn this into one side against the other and just talk about how it affects us, the Americans. So we asked our friend Rush Limbaugh to come back on the Kevin Bean Show. He joins us right now here on K-Rock. Hi, Rush.
My friends, always a pleasure to talk to you, Kevin and Bean.
Well, thank you for your time. I know you're very busy today with your EIB network, but what can you tell us about Obamacare? What do we, the citizen, need to know about this new health plan that goes into effect today?
Welcome to the first day of Abominable Care, as I like to call it. Obamacare now ensuring that everyone will die before their time.
Now, how does that work exactly?
Hold on, I'm so sick of this Obamacare. I need to take some medicine. I need to take some pills here.
It's funny. Bean said you were impartial. I don't think impartial went.
The OxyContin will help me with the pain.
Okay, all right.
Of Obamacare.
Now, are you able to get OxyContin at a reduced prescription rate now that Obamacare has gone into effect?
My friends, here's what you need to know about Obamacare.
Okay.
Here's
okay.
how it will affect you, every American. Within the sound of my voice, will be affected by Obamacare, and here is how it will happen.
Okay. Thank you. This is what we need.
First step of Obamacare. It's right there in the bill. mandatory AIDS for everyone in America.
That is absurd.
I know. That's why we're trying to get it from being funded, my friend.
No, I'm saying that's not even a that can't be a part of it.
Have you read the bill?
Technically, no.
Well, then perhaps you should reserve judgment on what I'm saying.
I don't think anyone's read the bill. It's over 1,000 pages, but I can guarantee you, Rush Limbaugh, that they're not forcing AIDS on American
713
people.
Mandatory AIDS.
That's just ridiculous.
For all Americans.
That's
don't get
everyone.
Your AIDS shot today, boys and girls,
that's
because
just
that
not true.
Is part of Obamacare.
Okay. All right. If it's there in the bill, I can't
Thank
argue.
Thank you very much. All illnesses treated with amputation. It's another part of the Obamacare bill.
Wait, so if I go in there...
down by just taking... You have a splinter? Take off the hand.
Well, that seems extreme. That can't
be... tennis elbow? We'll take off your arm at the shoulder then. No more elbow, no more problem, my friend.
It just seems like you're just creating more problems with lots of people walking around with one leg.
Well, in a world where everyone hops, only the walking man can be king.
Okay, I'm going to think about that and get back to you.
I'm not sure I understand that.
I don't know what that means
okay.
either.
You're exaggerating, though, a bit, right?
With Obamacare now in place, as of today, all men will be required to carry babies. Men, God. Only men will be allowed to be pregnant now
what
under
are you
Obamacare.
Talking about?
But that's not even physically possible. Men can't get pregnant and have a
they
baby.
They can, and they will under Obamacare. Now babies will come from the butt.
I don't think that's in there.
Are you sure you were talking about the same bill, the Affordable Health Care Act that goes into effect today across America?
Affordable Death Care Act is what I'm talking about, my friends.
Oh, you changed that to death.
See what I did there?
Wow.
This is such a heinous piece of legislation that, frankly, the Health Care Act is actually a Sick Care Act. It just makes...
Oh. Oh, no, 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 Rush. Oh, nope. Nope. Oh,
you got to get to a doctor or something. Nope.
Oh. Look at all those semi-digested OxyContin pills.
they're good for another round. He's just kidding.
All right.
Oh. I do not care for this.
Wow. He's really taking this hard. You all right? Rush?
Wow.
This bill is...
I don't think Rush cares for it. Well, he's certainly impartial.
Wow.
This has to be it. You okay?
Yes, I think I'm...
he's going to drown. There can't be any left. That's a little... How do you have that much left in your body?
I think this would be considered a pre-existing condition.
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ, and this is the Kevin and Bean Show at 7:55.
The new head coach for the USC Trojans, I think, Petros Papadakis, joins us in studio coming up right after the top of the hour here on K-Rock to talk all things college football. And perhaps we'll get into a little Dodger playoff baseball talk, too.
Guys. Nope.
First, though, wraps here with the Showbiz Beat on a Tuesday. What's going on?
Sure
got a
about
question?
That? You want to check a calendar and get back to me?
I didn't Tuesday. Want to say the wrong thing.
All right. It's official. Amanda Bynes' mental state has officially been diagnosed, and that diagnosis has been released today. Schizophrenia and bipolar disorder.
What an idiot!
No, it's not her fault at all. She's a sick, sick girl. Now, she has been moved from the UCLA Medical Center, where she was treated, to a private facility, and that has led several news sources to claim that she was being moved into a rehab as if she had some sort of drug problem, but according to reliable sources, she's just being moved to a more private care facility versus the large hospital scenario that she was in at UCLA Medical Center. She was, according to the family, she was being treated amongst patients that were much worse off than she was.
Oh.
She was starting to get withdrawn and frightened, and it was not a great environment for her to be receiving her therapy in. So they have moved her to a private facility outside of Los Angeles where she can get more personalized care, and apparently Amanda's making great strides towards recovery. She's with the medication and therapy she's undergoing, so by all accounts, she's getting the help she needs, but she is a very sick young lady, so that's sad news, and I feel bad now about all the jokes I made.
Yeah, but we didn't know.
I know, but still.
All right.
She's really sick.
We're sorry.
Carmen Electra's in the news. She's a pretty good deal at 41 years old, by the way.
She's 41?
Yeah, she's really held her.
Wow. Yes, she has.
What does that do to your...
Hold up her end of the bargain.
What does that do to your blanket policy, Kevin, that there are no hot chicks over 25?
There's exceptions.
Death after 25 is usually your motto.
I don't think so. She's an exception for sure.
She's a pretty good cougar, too, by the way, if you can land that, if you're a younger man. And apparently that's just what's happened to The Wanted's Max George, who's 25 years old.
Wasn't he Lindsay's boy toy for a minute?
He was. He's just burning his way through Hollywood. Carmen and Max, apparently quite the item these days. That's a pretty good deal.
And yeah. He's how old?
25 years old.
And she's 41,
to
right?
Her 41, but that's... what's an age but a number when it comes to love?
Good point, Ralph.
Thank you.
Good point.
Speaking of love, Ryan Reynolds and Blake Lively know how to keep their marriage fresh and spicy. According to Star Magazine, here's how they do it. They keep their love hot by renting motel rooms by the hour. Yeah, see what they did there? Yeah, man. Makes it hot and kinky if you just go to a motel. The no-tell motel. Lube it up. They do naked yoga together at home. And they get into role-playing.
Okay.
I wonder if he slaps on the Green Lantern costume from time to time.
That's what you would request.
Yeah. Brightest day or blackest night. My goodness, sweetheart, you're so tight.
Arabian goggles.
That just sounds like a lot of work. It sounds like a lot of work, all of those things.
It does, because they probably have a really nice house that they can just do it in.
Just
what's
stay
wrong
there
with that?
And turn on the air conditioning for the yoga and just... You're Blake Lively and Ryan Reynolds. You're two of the most attractive people in Hollywood. Just enjoy that. Just stop with the role-playing. Just stop it. The rest of us, you're tired and busy. And you're making us feel bad. Cut it out.
Roman Helmet.
And speaking of feeling bad, apparently the PR people who put up advertising billboards for the upcoming biopic Diana about the, of course, Princess of Wales.
Right.
This is Diana
the Naomi Watts movie?
Naomi Watts, yes. They are a little embarrassed these days. One of the billboards... in Paris, was put up, yes,
oh,
as
no.
you can guess it, right outside the tunnel where she died in a car
wow.
crash.
It's unfortunate.
The company which put up the posters say there were several thousands of billboards and posters in and around Paris. It was just an unfortunate coincidence that one turned up where the paparazzi created the fatal accident. So they had to go out there and take that one down.
I'm sure it was unintentional. It's understandable how something like that would happen.
No, they were just blanketing the... city, trying to get as much coverage as possible, and no one thought that maybe we shouldn't put one here.
What's your level of interest, guys, in seeing a movie about Princess Diana? I have very little.
Less than you.
Why? What's wrong with you two? A fascinating character. She had a very interesting life. She was an enormous influence on pop culture and also was a great humanitarian. And behind the scenes, apparently, was going through quite a number of emotional, distressing issues.
I just feel like I have seen and know as much about her life as I care to. I don't think.
You tell that to Abraham Lincoln. What'd you say about Abraham Lincoln?
Abraham Lincoln, I didn't live through. I don't remember it.
You don't remember your own childhood either. Maybe we should just do a movie about your childhood. Just go watch that.
Look, I love Naomi Watts, and I hope the movie is good, and I hope everybody enjoys it. I just was wondering if I was the only one who really doesn't care that it got made.
Did you go see The Queen?
I loved The Queen.
Well, you lived through her, too!
Right, but The Queen was lots of backstage information that I was not privy to at the time.
You're not privy to the Diana's backstage information, either.
Well,
I know what
she's
doing backstage in the first place, anyway. She should just go to a house, not a theater. She shouldn't be backstage.
Look, I could be wrong.
You are wrong!
It could be fascinating. It could be great. It could never fail to disappoint, for all I know.
You guys know how to suck the fun out of everything, don't you?
I just wondered if I was alone. Apparently I'm not, because Kevin's with me.
I have very little
You
interest.
And Kevin. You're on Kevin's side when it comes to a movie. Congratulations.
That makes nobody feel good.
Today's celebrity birthday is actor Randy Quaid, is 63 years old today. Actor Isai Morales. Most recently seen in Magic City. He was great in Magic City. Great turn. 51 years old today.
When does that come back?
Shut up. You know it's a sore subject for me.
Sorry.
Where do you see my website? Bringbackmagiccity.com.
Zach Galifianakis is 44 and Brie Larson is 24. Speaking of great television, tonight, brand new episode of Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.
I have to admit, I haven't seen that yet. Is it good?
You bastard.
Is it good?
It's really good.
Awesome.
You'll
love it, Kevin. It's awesome. Perfect for
it's, you. It's alphas on steroids.
Fantastic.
That's kind of what the feeling is. And speaking of great television, we're not talking about this nearly enough, and now I'm not going to rest until Dave the King of Mexico, our producer, gets Megan Boone on our show. But if you're watching The Blacklist on
NBC. Blacklist. I totally agree with that.
It was on last night. The second episode was on last night. It's on Monday nights on NBC. This is my new obsession, this show. If you're not watching The Blacklist with James Spader and Megan Boone, I think you're missing out because,
it's
boy.
It's awesome.
It's a really well-written, well-acted show. And it looks great. And it's got that glass box that he lives in and everything that keeps sliding around. It's just cool. It's really
fantastic.
Cool.
Yeah.
I haven't felt like this about a movie, about a series since Alias, I think. I mean, in terms of like getting involved in the mythology and what's going on with these characters. I mean, boom, first episode. I was hooked. I was sucked in.
That's strong.
So check that out on Monday nights as well.
It's funny. We first started asking for James Spader and then we quickly moved on to Megan.
I'll take Spades too. Spades is
but
awesome.
But only as a way of getting to her.
But Spades is a tremendous performer and a great character for him in this. But she is a revelation.
Yeah.
She's a stunningly beautiful actress who's also an incredibly talented actress. You rarely see that combo together. Usually they got one or the other. But she's the whole package right there.
I hear you.
That Megan Boone.
Now you're on my side. Now what?
Megan Boone. That's what I called her.
That's not going to help.
I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz.
Max Greenfield, actor from The New Girl, he plays Schmidt, don't you know, joins us later this hour on The Kevin Bean Show.
We think this is one of those days where everything is going south.
But we talked to Jeff Garland last hour, right?
Did not. No, he
slept
through that.
Oh, wait, he overslept. That's right. But we do have passes for you to go to Knott's Scary Farm this hour between now and 9 o'clock, plus front-of-the-line passes for all 12 mazes. That's coming up. At least Petros is here from the Petros and Money radio show on AM 570 KLAC. At least he's here in studio with us as promised, right?
Hey, Petros, thanks for coming in today.
I'm actually in your parking lot. Let me get out, and I'll come in right now.
Okay.
Can you stay on the phone with us while you come in?
I'd rather not, but I will.
All right. Look, we're doing a radio interview right now. I don't know what you're doing.
All right,
but
I'm on the phone.
We need you on the phone. So you're going to make your way into the building.
Yes, I'm on my way in. This is like a, you know, like they do with one of those nighttime shows, like Jimmy Kimmel type. You know, they
sure, exactly.
Sure.
In the parking lot, but usually that guy gets out of a limo and he's in a suit.
Hey, congratulations on being the new head coach.
Very angry.
Congratulations on being the new head coach for USC.
I'm very angry.
About?
Well, if I'm the new head coach, you know, I have a great deal of responsibility.
Right. P does sound cranky today, doesn't he? What happened? What slowed you down today? Was there an accident, P?
The traffic.
Listen to him. I'm not sure I want you to come in.
No, I'm coming in and hell's coming with me.
Why don't you take that attitude and turn around and head home?
I'm storming in right now.
We don't need your bad attitude in here.
Oh, are you in the building yet, P?
Oh, there's going to be so much attitude. I'm going to snarl and go right for your throats.
Great.
Where are you in the building right now? Are you past the pinball machine yet?
Where am I in the building? Right here.
Oh, look at that.
All right.
Look
Ladies
at that.
Ladies and gentlemen, the P.
Look at that.
Ugh.
How are you, man?
Stupid traffic. Why can't you guys have me at 7 when you usually do when no one's on the road?
Nobody asked us for an earlier time. Nobody.
We had to tell you why, because we had Jeff Garland scheduled for last hour.
Who's that? Is that somebody important?
Oops, I'm sorry. I still have your phone on.
Hold on. Let me turn my phone off.
Okay. He's the fat guy from Curb Your Enthusiasm, the very funny actor comedian.
Oh, that guy has a terrible attitude. Worse than mine.
We love him.
We love him.
He slept through that interview.
So let me tell you about this USC thing. So I'm listening to Money and P yesterday, like I do in the afternoon, and they have on the new head coach for the USC Trojans. What's his name, Petros?
Ed Ogeron.
Okay.
Well, he's an interim head coach. OB.
Interim, right? But he's
you
he's
see how
coach
I'm relaxing. Everything's okay.
Everything's
now.
Better.
He's going to coach out the last 8 weeks of the season. So listen to this, Kevin. So this is what I hear. This is what I hear the new coach of the Trojans say to P as he hangs up the phone. He says, "Petros, I wish I had 25 just like you on my team."
What?
That's what he said. Am I lying, P? Is that
he
what he
was
said
a coach when I was at USC.
But yeah, but that was one of the worst teams in the history of USC.
Yeah, but we had some good players, and we had a lot of heart. The old P was there.
Yeah.
Well, no, that's what you want from your team,
guy,
is a lot of heart.
Ed and I got in a couple. Actually, Ed and I, during a run drill, in like 1999, got in a, well, we were choking each other right on the field there.
Really?
I think I threw the ball off his chest and I kicked one of his linemen and he took exception to that. And
I love it.
I took exception to him taking exception.
Right. And then it was on.
Oh, we had a great time. I loved playing with him. Well, that doesn't sound right.
No, it sounds accurate.
I enjoyed it when he was on the staff. That doesn't sound right either.
That's not right either.
Him and I had a great relationship at USC.
Tell me about firing a coach midseason, because
it doesn't happen in September. Midseason is one thing. And at the college level, usually once a team gets to 7 losses, which means they're not going to be bowl eligible, they'll go and fire the coach.
They will.
In some respects, but at a big-time place like USC and NFL football, you very rarely see anybody fired in September. And we've seen Lane Kiffin, a toxic man, almost to your level, Kevin.
How dare you?
Twice.
This
twice
is game
fired in September in his career. Once in
this
2008.
This is game 4, though.
Yes.
This is game 4. And the decision was made, as I understand it.
Game
I know
4,
a lot
but
of
week 5. Week 5,
right,
game
right.
4.
But a decision was made during the game, during the third quarter of the loss to ASU this past weekend. The decision was made to fire him. Now, there's some controversy as to how the firing was done.
There shouldn't be. It's exactly what the Daily News said it is. Which is
what?
Well, first of all, the decision to fire the man was made by USC luminaries in a 6x6 closet in a bunker of a locker room behind Sun Devil Stadium. I don't know if anybody here is familiar with the Phoenix area.
Yeah, I am. I'm from there.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah.
Oh.
And
sorry, I didn't get that. My bad.
Yeah. And then on the plane ride home, everything's cool, right? Everybody's just chilling.
Everybody's having a good time.
Yeah, then everybody gets on the bus. Not a good time because they just gave up 62 points to the Sun Devils. But then everybody gets on the bus, and this is all according to Scott Wolf of the LA Daily News, and it's all correct.
Okay.
Everybody gets on the bus. The buses start to drive toward the gate, and then all of a sudden a shadowy figure appears at 4 in the morning. An athletic department guy waving his arm, stopping the bus. Stop the bus.
At 4 a.m.
Yeah, when the buses are leaving, the caravan of buses are leaving to go back to the university.
Right.
Stop the bus. Stop the bus. The arms are waving.
Okay.
Somebody goes into the bus, says, Coach, we need to talk to you. The coach goes to the bus driver, I'll be right back. When he walks out of the bus, the guy goes, hit it. The buses leave.
What kind of a...
It's like an organized mob hit. It's like Midnight Express.
Like,
it's great. It's unbelievable.
But why did that happen that way?
I don't know.
That's crazy.
Isn't it great, though?
Yeah, it's great, but it's crazy.
Well, this is L.A. We got to have some drama. And I guess they fired him.
But they can't wait for the bus ride home, really?
Apparently not.
Wow.
His bag was still on the bus, right?
Yes. Somebody had to go get his bag. His briefcase.
Wow.
His briefcase made it back to campus, but he didn't.
Petras, should he have been surprised to be fired?
I think everybody was surprised that USC would just pull the trigger on a guy in September after the way that they supported him, at least in the media. They never extended his contract, so Lane Kiffin was never really supported, and that was probably something that hurt him. Everything has not been handled well in this situation. but to be honest with you, it's the right thing to do. Lane Kiffin was he was so toxic that even people that defended him, I mean, just think amongst your friends, even people that defended the guy were marginalized, and he was not inspired. He couldn't lead hungry ants to a picnic. I mean, obviously, when you saw the games this year, he lost the team last year. He never got him back. I know a lot of the players. There's a tremendous sense of relief, and I expect USC to play better now.
Wow.
All right, we need to take a break. Petras Papadakis is here, finally.
No, I'm going back to the parking lot. We'll do the second one in the lot.
We've got a lot we want to talk about, and I want to finish up on this USC thing because I want to find out how much is the coach's fault, because he inherited the number one college football team in the nation, right?
No.
No, or well, close to it.
No, I mean, they were like 8-5 in the year after he took over. Pete Carroll left. Remember, Pete Carroll left, and things weren't going that great.
So it wasn't
Carroll.
All roses for him. So he's
no,
had some,
but Lane Kiffin got fired because of Lane Kiffin. I mean, come on now, Bean. You can make excuses for him though.
No, not at all. That's why you're here, is because I want you.
Did
to
you guys
sort
ever
it
have him on? Usually have the head coaches
on. I don't believe we did. I don't think we did because we didn't feel good about it.
A lot of personality.
All right. Petras is here. We'll take a break. Come back with more right after this on the Kevin Bean Show.
Petras Papadakis is in the studio with us.
The P is on weekday afternoons on AM 570 with Matt Money Smith, and we can also see you on the Fox Sports 1. When are you on the TV, P, wearing your sharp suits?
I had a fitting at Saks yesterday.
You look good. I got to tell you, man. You know, you take a lot of abuse on Twitter with the Fatros and all that, but I think you look good on TV.
It's very nice of you to say, Bean, but I'm not an attractive man. That being said, I was at the Saks place yesterday, and the guy was like, you know, this is like a club area, and you can come here whenever you want now that you're on the list.
At
and
Saks?
You know, we have a bar, like the Saks for a man. And I was like, yeah, I don't know why I would.
Why would I go hang out there?
You know, I don't really have any friends, but I guess I could come by here and, you know, look at the ties. I don't know.
Now, Pete, we got a lot of ground to cover here. What went horribly wrong for Lane Kiffin? You said that he was not a dynamic leader. Did he
went horribly wrong for Lane Kiffin. It went beyond, way beyond the X's and O's, way beyond.
So he has better players. He has good players. He just didn't know what to do with them?
Oh, sure. I mean, USC will always have. It's the same situation as Texas, and that's why the people aren't going to. Look, people pay thousands of dollars just for the right to buy season tickets at USC. And they're very entitled, and they're a very rich and snooty fan base. You've been around them your whole lives here. And they can't sit in the stands and watch that. Not after what they give up. And the problem is this. It went way beyond play calling, even though that's something he wouldn't give up, and that was part of his problem. But it went way beyond any of that, guys. It's simple. This guy wasn't leading these people. They were not inspired. You could say the sideline was dead.
Was that always the case from day one? Or did he at some point lose them?
They won 10 games. I think he lost them somewhere in the middle of last year. What most people say, and I've recognized this to be true as well, is 2 years ago they had a 10-win season during the sanctions.
Right.
Where there was a bowl ban. The sanctions are still alive, but there's no bowl ban right now. So they weren't going to go to a bowl. They weren't going to challenge for the championship. But they had this great run, and they won 10 games. They went up to Oregon and won. That allowed him to be more of what he was. My father always says it. Few boys... No. Sorry. I don't listen to my father much. No man and few boys can handle success. Lane Kiffin could not handle that success. I mean, he just couldn't. And the success
What's
of that
What's hard
year,
about success to handle?
A lot.
What?
When you have – look, when you're a head football coach, it's not just you. You have 85 scholarship players to deal with. Well, a little less with USC, but 100 guys on the roster, a whole staff. You're responsible for all of their families. It's even different from pro football because pro football, nobody cares if the guy's married or if he has a family
right.
or if he's doing the right things when the doors close. I mean, Bill Belichick is Satan, but nobody cares. I mean, it's the NFL. I mean, it's for money. College football, there's a giant gray area with what we do. There's higher education. There's young men. There's the recruitment of high school kids. I mean, Lane Kiffin would sit in living rooms and recruit kids. So, you know, ultimately, he was just too toxic of a person for that environment and too toxic of a person for the NFL environment, really. He lost the team, and that's the best way that I can explain what killed him. He lost the team.
He's dead?
He never got it back. Killed him at USC.
Oh.
For all practical purposes in the head coaching world, yes, he is dead.
I was going to ask if you think he'll coach again. He's had a number of jobs.
Yes, and that'll be it. Mountain West, no one will let him call plays unless it's Mountain West, Conference USA. No one will ever let him sniff a play call, or he'll be an NFL. I actually think he's a pretty good wide receiver coach, so he'd be an NFL wide receiver coach probably when his dad
calls
him a favor.
How come you never went into coaching?
Because I hate coaches. No, look, I'll be honest with you. I can tell you exactly why. I don't drink light beer in the back of vans. I do. I prefer to wear underwear.
Okay.
Look, the point is this. We treat college and pro football coaches as if they're the leaders of modern society.
Right.
You know, we treat them like they are the outliers of the world, especially around this time of year. Some of them are great men, there's no doubt. But we're talking about football coaches. I mean, you guys all took PE, right?
Sure.
Okay, I mean, that's that guy. So take it easy.
Too much of a spotlight on these guys because none of them are that can live up to it.
I mean, they're football coaches.
Yeah.
You know, they're guys that have flat tops and usually talk with a lower voice just to intimidate the kids. You know, I mean, that it's football coaching, for goodness sake. They're talking about teaching kids to wear plastic outfits and run into each other. So it's not exactly rocket science, but the reason I never got into coaching, because I'm not saying that I'm like a better person than them, because I'm clearly an idiot as well, but I just can't stand out there for that long. I mean, what? It is a long, boring-ass day out there.
I would have never guessed that answer.
Oh, dude, you can't imagine. I mean, look, you guys think of football as the crowd, the games, the people, the pageantry, the running out of the tunnel. I don't even remember the games when I played. All I remember is being on the bus and standing out on the field and just like waiting for practice to be over and the horn to blow. I mean, sitting in films and having a bunch of guys fall asleep and fart all around you. I mean, that's football, for God's sakes. You know, you guys just see the fun part that everybody
pays
to
see. You make it sound glamorous.
It's horrible.
I'll give you that.
It's horrible. You know what the chafing alone is like, Kevin? I could show you chafing scars.
I'd rather not see
chafing
them.
Scars on my crotch.
No, thank you.
Hey, Petros Papadakis.
I'll show you right now.
No, thank
you. In our remaining 2 minutes, how about a few words to encourage the Doyers fans in their bid for the first World Series win in 25 years? Step one is going to be this Thursday against the Atlanta Braves. The Dodgers have a ton of people out, including most recently Matt Kemp. What's it looking like?
Well, I don't know. Hey, are you guys ready to back the Azul? Are you? Excited?
I don't have a team to root for, so I'm going for absolutely.
Everybody loves the Azul, right? I mean, it's an exciting time.
Sure.
The thing that has the Dodgers in a lot of people's minds as a team that will be in the World Series, although it's hard to say because the baseball playoffs are wacky, and Don Mattingly does not have a great deal of managing experience, let alone playoff managing experience. So that is something to look for. I mean, especially in the National League, that gets really complex, and I don't understand.
I think Bean was hoping for some encouraging words.
Well, okay, I'm getting there. Okay. I'm getting there. Okay. And Matt Kemp is hurt. You know, he started it with the Matt Kemp injury.
Okay.
So they do have some issues. And Andre Ethier, they're hoping that he can be available starting in this Atlanta Braves playoff series to at least do something. But that being said, the best thing the Dodgers have going is their pitching rotation. They have three great pitchers to throw at you, and that is really good for the playoffs because, you know, your best guys go. And it turns out the Dodgers' best guys are some of the best of the best. Clayton Kershaw, Cy Young, you got Zach Greinke, who's like a really weird dude, but he's a good pitcher. And then the guy that dressed up like the Stay Puft Marshmallow Man, Hyunjin Ryu from Korea. Those three pitchers will probably, if they're going like they have been going, the Dodgers will be in the World Series, and then we'll have all kinds of different things to do regarding that.
What's going on with your boy Puig? Are you disappointed that he ran into some trouble with his first year fame a little bit? Some scuffs with the media, with a little bit too much partying. He's not the angel that he seemed to be at the beginning of the season.
I think you're reaching. Angel. I mean, look, he doesn't drink. I don't think he got pulled over for going 130 in Chattanooga. Okay,
that's the only speed
that was
to go through.
Before they called him up, it was before they called him up.
All right,
I'm thinking of the F the media and that whole era.
If you go to Cuba and you got all the Cuban media, all you know how the Cuban media can be.
We really
when you got
really
the Cuban
don't.
Media all over you,
we don't really know.
You know, you get a little frustrated, incorporated. You guys
so
need
he's
to play
still
that
your,
song.
He's still your boy, though, right?
I love him. Yo soy cubano. I'm not afraid. Oh, no. This guy's been one of the most exciting breaths of fresh air to the town, I think. I mean, it's been a lot of fun to watch him. Now, was he the driving force behind their resurgence in mid-June? You can argue that, but there were some guys that really had to keep it going. The pitching that I mentioned, Hanley Ramirez was great. Andre Ethier was great when he had to be great. But Puig is the guy that plugged the energy into this team and got these guys going. And they do seem, the Dodger team, to like each other. They do seem to want to be together.
That makes a huge difference, right?
I don't know. I mean, baseball's a crazy deal. That's a lot of games, and that's a real grind. You know, it's not like the sport every day is hard, but the daily practice of it is very difficult. And that's why the baseball media is so angry. And that's why baseball players are so angry toward the media. I mean, it is. It's a long, arduous, Bataan Death March style grind.
You make every sport sound terrible, Patrick.
They are. I'm not much of a fan. But I think when you get a young guy who's got a wonderment with the new society that he's been, you know, he's not driving a car from the 50s anymore.
I mean,
the wonderment of being in America and having $73 million and being super swole and relatively good looking. I think that was a good thing for the team. I think they all kind of lived vicariously through Puig, at least for a while. And it got him going in a big way. And I'm I'm going to enjoy these playoffs. I think they're going to be fun.
I am too.
Because it's look, there's one thing when the Lakers do well. Guys like Kevin take a helicopter to Staples and watch the game.
That happens.
You know, with the Ahoy Polloys. You know, it's one thing when that happens. And the Kings, you know, we all loved that. It was emotional for a lot of people. But, you know, hockey is hockey. With the Latino.
First of all, F you.
I know, but okay, go ahead. Love it. Continue. You know, hey, I appreciate it for what it is, but.
It's the best sport,
okay,
but go ahead.
But the Latino people that live in this city.
Oh, I agree.
With the Doyers, if they can make some kind of run, it really will be exciting because those people don't get priced out at Dodger Stadium like they do at Staples Center. So when the Dodgers are in the playoffs, it really is a different feel in L.A., and I'm looking forward to it.
Petros Papadakis, weekday afternoons on AM 570, and look for him in his fancy sax suits on Fox Sports 1 and FoxSports1.com.
You know, we have a club here. You're welcome.
Club. That's what I understand. Hang out in sax.
A couple fingers of scotch.
Say hi to Matt Money Smith for us. Say hi to our good friend Pat O'Brien. P. We'll see you soon. Hit that 405
hey,
again.
Knock it off.
It's time to get Schmitty with it. Hit it, Steve.
Hey, girl. What you doing?
All right, that's 16 seconds long, and they rarely have time for that whole song.
I know. Very busy show. They got a lot of comedy to cram into 30 minutes. Tuesday nights at 9 on the Fox Network is New Girl, one of our favorite shows. We're always excited to welcome actor Max Greenfield back to the Kevin Amin Show. Hey, Max.
What's going on, guys?
How are you, man?
How you been? What's going on with you?
Well, they're playing the last few minutes of Rain Man on Cinemax right now. I mean...
Are we interrupting?
No. I'm just saying it's well, right in the thick of it.
Okay.
Now, did you?
The smoke alarm just went off. Tom Cruise is realizing, you know, maybe.
You all right?
Maybe you know, maybe this picture is not.
You okay?
Not one that I'm able to paint.
Now I have to ask you this question for reals: are you going to pause it and then go back to it after the interview with us to enjoy it fully, or are you going to try to talk to us on the phone the same time you continue to watch the movie?
I just press pause.
All right. Are you lying?
All right. We're going to be real fast.
What's going on, guys?
Let's get back to it. Hey, I want to talk about, and I never thought I'd say these words in the 21st century, but I want to talk about Arsenio Hall for a minute. You were on the Arsenio Hall show. Now, are you even old enough to remember back when Arsenio used to have his old show?
Well, yeah, I vaguely remember it. But, you know, I had done this parody for Paul Scheer. Paul Scheer does this great show called The Arsenio Paul Show for the Jaffe Network
right. On
YouTube. And he recreated all these. He plays Arsenio Paul and does one of the best impressions of Arsenio I've ever seen. But we recreated all these original interviews, and they did them verbatim. There's no, like, improv. There's no embellishing. It's just as is. And he got myself and a bunch of other people to play the different interviewees, and it is one of the funniest series. But it made us go back and watch a lot of the old interviews. Those interviews are insane.
Insanely bad?
No, just
insane.
Insane.
Okay.
You know what I think it is? Is I think that they are just so out of time today. Like, you look at it and it's like it's 100 years ago. It's not 20 years ago. Like, you can't believe that's how people used to talk and that's what people used to say. And that was a culture that many of us lived through. And it's already so horribly out of date.
Yeah, it was like right at the time. It was right when the MTV, like video awards were crazy. Remember when, like, Guns N' Roses would get up.
When people cared?
Screaming the F word.
Right.
And, like, they would show up loaded. So you'd have, like, Tupac would show up and start talking about stuff that you were saying to yourself. If this happened today, this would be all over the news for a full week.
Right. Right, because there was no social media back then. It was on and then it was gone.
It would be a disaster. Oh, my goodness, what he's talking about. He was talking about Janet Jackson in a way where you would be like, oh, my word.
So you were on last night, and he played the clip of you doing the parody of you're playing Vanilla Ice and Paul Scheer is playing Arsenio Hall. And I thought that was funny that he played it, and he seemed like he had a good sense of humor about it. But then he asked you to kind of recreate it live on the show last night, and that just seemed like it would be kind of awkward to then have to do it live in front of Arsenio, the man you had just been making fun of.
Now, I think, well, first of all, you know, you feel people out a little bit. Arsenio could not be a cooler guy.
He seems ultra nice.
He's so nice and has such a good attitude. Thought the show, Shears, our Cheerio Paul was great.
Oh, loved good. It. Okay. All right. So you weren't in any danger from the dog pound.
Not even a little bit. He loved it. He thought it was so funny. And he was, you know, I think, you know, you get on shows like that and they love it when you do stuff like that because it brings a little bit of life to.
Sure.
It is funny
that you have a job now, and who would have ever imagined this when you were, you know, a struggling actor, that you have a job where you go on the Arsenio Hall show and he tells you to dance.
When you have a job now.
But you've done your share of embarrassing dancing on New Girl, too. You're not afraid. Schmidt's not afraid to shake it either.
Man, I feel like, I don't know if you saw it last week.
Is that when you were juggling the two women?
Yeah, that continues tonight. Although that ends tonight.
Okay.
But last week they had me like getting my nipples licked by a kitten.
Yeah, that was uncomfortable sure at best.
Yeah, twice.
At this point, I'll dance to whatever. I just really, I think I'd like to put the cat thing.
Just no more cats on the nipple.
How do they do that? Do they smear your chest with honey or what?
Hey, listen, guys, I really don't want to talk about it.
Hey, you brought it up.
I know I did. And immediately as I brought it up, I thought, this is a mistake. They're going to ask questions and we're going to get into details.
Are cats naturally interested in your nipples? Final question.
Number one on the therapy set list.
Okay.
Interesting. All right. Now let me ask this question, and I don't know if you're going to be able to give me an honest answer or not. But when you found out that Nick was the one who was going to start nailing Jess, were you, as the actor Max Greenfield, a little sad that they didn't go the Schmidt-Jess route?
I think we knew from the first episode that wasn't going to happen, just because how it was set up. Mm-hmm. And they kind of dove into that storyline pretty early with Nick and Jess.
Yeah,
yeah.
Not to mention that their chemistry was from the very first episode. But when we were doing chemistry reads, we were like, well, that's going to happen.
so he
and
gets
they
Jess.
They had me kind of on the road early with...
With Cece.
With Hannah's character, Cece. So it was never really... And I don't know. I'd always kind of played the Jess stuff as kind of like a sibling relationship.
I get this. Now I feel creepy having asked the question.
My head never went there.
I'm starting to get the sense that you're still watching Rain Man.
No, I swear.
All right. I'm just checking.
Pretty good deal, and I'm remaining a moment here, Max. Pretty good deal, though, showing up at work and basically juggling Hannah Simone and Merritt Weaver. I mean, that's not a bad place for an actor to be.
Right. Did you see Merritt Weaver win the Emmy?
Yes, I did. Best acceptance speech in the history of the Emmys.
Just the best.
She's awesome. She's hilarious. She's so funny.
But that comes to a head tonight, you say?
Yeah, I get found out tonight, and... It doesn't go very well.
Really? I can't imagine how that could have gone south.
Yeah.
I hope
it really screwed that one up.
I hope you lose them both and it's just you and the cats licking your nipples. That's what I hope.
You're not far off.
I hope people didn't see the episode and they just heard that sentence.
Right? You just predicted the end of Breaking Bad and almost nailed it.
All right, New Girl airs tonight at 9, like it does every Tuesday night on Fox. We love Schmidt. We love actor Max Greenfield. Emmy-nominated Max Greenfield, we should be legally required to say. It's always a pleasure to have you on the Kevin DeBeach Show. Get back to your Dustin Hoffman, okay?
Thank you.
All right, thank man. You. Come on and play! Hey!
106.7 K-Rock. K-Rock. Kevin DeBeach Show at 8:57.
Hey, Ralph Garman with the Showbiz Beat. Go.
Oh, gosh. Lamar Odom's dad, Joe. I like Joe. I don't know Joe, but I like Joe.
Okay.
Because he thinks Kris Jenner's an evil bitch.
Well, I mean, that's science.
Look, Joe's upset. His son's got problems. But he thinks that, sure, Lamar's partly to blame, but he thinks living with and amongst the Kardashians has contributed to his issues, which you'd be hard to argue against.
Yeah, that'd be a tough way to go.
If you're a guy without, like, a strong coping mechanism, and perhaps you didn't have much of a family, and you tried to turn to this family as for some sort of support and love, which I can't imagine you get from any of them, I would think self-medication might be an option.
Yeah.
And then if you're predisposed to addiction, it could be a dangerous, horrible spiral.
It's a bad place to put yourself in.
That's what I'm saying.
Joe says that Chloe is not nearly as nice privately as she likes to seem publicly, but he saves the best for her mother, Kris Jenner. She's an evil bitch, said Joe. She doesn't care about Lamar. She just cares about their image and money. I have seen no evidence to the contrary. Joe Odom.
It's tough to argue.
Go with God.
He's done. He'll never play basketball again, right?
Who, Joe? Yeah, he's wailed.
I think Joe's out of the league.
Yeah, ridiculous.
Lamar. I think Lamar is, he may have wrapped things up. Lady Lamar! In the news, parents trying to ride her coattails again. Reportedly, they've been trying to horn in to her new reality show on the OWN network, trying to get in front of the cameras during that shoot.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah.
Hey, just thought we'd drop by.
Hey,
you doing anything?
Hey, sweetheart. What are all these cameras doing here? That's... Hi, I'm Michael. Hi, Lindsay's dad. Good to meet you. How are you? Reportedly, producers on her new show aren't impressed that her nearest and dearest continue to try to show up and be in the show, and they have reportedly flat-out refused to let any of what they're calling the Lohan family circus to appear on the show.
Wow.
Michael, however, begs to differ. He's already told Radar Online that he's already taped 3 episodes. He's already in 3 shows. Stop it. Go away.
Seriously.
Don't do something else with your life. Anything. Get a job. Something. My God. No wonder Lindsay was a mess. Look at who she's surrounded with.
It's amazing that she's as sane as she is.
And Michael's half... Her half-sister, Michael's daughter from an affair with another woman. You hear about this woman?
No, no, no.
18 years old, named Ashley, has spent $25,000 in plastic surgery to try to look like Lindsay.
Oh,
no.
Man.
Yes. No. Yes.
Wow.
And she said, I'm hotter than Lindsay now. I look like Lindsay when she was hot.
That's nice. That's good.
But I'm nothing like her, she said. I'm a responsible person.
Oh.
Yeah, responsible people don't spend 25G trying to look like some girl who doesn't even know you exist.
You need to stop it, and you need to stop it right now.
Yeah, it's a freak show. That family's a freak show.
It really is. Who knew Lindsay would be the sanest person in that family?
I hope she stays clean and strong and just has a huge career, makes a ton of money, and doesn't give anything to any of them. I hope Dina goes away for life. I hope Michael jumps out of a building while a safe falls on him and he lands on a piano.
What? It's a mixture of all kinds of cartoon
deaths.
You heard
me.
Why does he need to land on a piano?
Because the sound would be awesome.
It seems like falling out of a building or getting hit by a safe. Either one would be enough.
But imagine the safe's coming down the same speed he is as he jumped up the building. And he's looking up and saying, oh, that safe's going to catch up with me. And he looks down.
And it's a piano.
And then he sticks his head up, and instead of teeth, he's got piano keys hanging out of his mouth.
Would be a way to go.
You've watched too many cartoons.
Not enough, in my opinion. Today's celebrity birthdays, actress Brie Larson.
Hey, Ralph Garman.
Oh, what?
Did you want to give a little something away here before
no,
you go?
I told you. Okay. I'm giving away at the end of the show.
I thought this was the end.
Yeah, we thought you meant at the end of the showbiz.
We do another showbiz beat around 9:45.
Okay, man, you said you
Let me
do
tell
it
you
the
how
end.
The show works.
You are a bad communicator, sir.
Am I?
Yeah.
When I said do
because
it at the end.
Both of us thought.
What's the end of the show? What is at the
but
end
you didn't
of your
say
show?
Of the show. You said of the end. Dot dot dot. We thought you were referring to this showbiz beat that you were doing right now.
Wouldn't I say I'm doing it here? Then, if I was going to do it here,
we thought you were telling us you were doing it at the end of this report.
Back to you. Brie Larson's 24 years old today. Zach Galifianakis. You know what? See, this is... I'm like Lindsay Lohan. They're like, people must listen to the show and say, how does he stay as sane as this? I mean, he's nuts. Obviously, he's got a drinking problem. But considering what he puts up with every day, he's remarkably strong.
You guys know how to suck the fun out of everything, don't you?
Brie Larson's 24 years old today. Zach Galifianakis turns 44. Isai Morales is 51 years old. And Randy Quaid, the more colorful of the Quaid brothers. He is 63 years old today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz.
Look who's back from a hot, hot weekend in Minnesota. Our friend Adam Carolla on the phone. Ace Man, how do you like it when you travel around the country to places like Minnesota?
You know, the people are great, and the architecture's great, and everything's great, but, you know, the sleep isn't great. But, it's first off, when you live in California, you live in Los Angeles, it's weird to go to a place like Minnesota and walk 10 blocks and just see white people. Like, you really think there's a rally going on or something. Like, it's the weirdest thing in the world. And then, of course, also, just everyone's like, hi, how you doing? Doing good? Good to hear you. And you're like, what year is this? What's going on? Why aren't you cynical? How come you're not angry?
I do think, and you've brought this up before, I do think that living in Southern California does harden people, don't you?
Well, plus, you go from, you know, the hot tub into the snowbank, because when you leave LAX, everyone who works at LAX is just an angry person of color. So you just get grunted at the whole time you're at LAX, and then you get off the plane, and there's some blonde dude who looks like the assistant coach from the sitcom Coach going, hey, how you doing? And you're like, what? Who is this person? Why are they grunting at me?
Well, Adam is back home, and he is in
Gobble
town.
May have been his name. I'm trying to think of who the blonde guy was.
He'll be at the Brea Improv with his special guest, Chris Titus. And that is going to be Thursday night at 8 o'clock. BreaImprov.com is where you want to go. Tickets are on sale now. Just $25. You can get the details on that and the Mangria and the podcast and everything at AdamCarolla.com. It's time for This Week in Rage.
It's time for This Week
in Rage.
Well, starting with three, working my way up to number one. First, I realize every time I turn on the news, there's some bear that's wandered into some residential neighborhood, and then ultimately they get shot. Or worse, they climb up in the tree, and the firemen tranquilize them, and then they hold that, like, mini-tramp out to catch them.
Right.
And they land right in the middle of the mini-tramp, but then they bounce off and land on the asphalt next to it, which is kind of a... Well, you think the firemen would work that one out the 2,500th time it happens with the bear, but they don't make that correction. Either way, I realize bears have no compass. They do more rambling and meandering than any other animal. You don't see zebras and giraffes and lions and hippos and things like that just wandering down people's driveways in La Cañada. Maybe they don't live in the foothills. I don't want to get mired in the details. Point is, bears do a lot of wandering around, and then they get shot. So the deal with the bears is, if I was at, like, you know, at the bear convention, I would say, if you feel cement or asphalt under your paws, turn around until you hit dirt again. You're going to get shot. But my next and bigger point would be, if I was there to address the bears at the bear convention, would be, if you're going along the trail and you come across some hiker and that guy tries to do that move where he balloons himself up and tries to make himself bigger and tries himself, you know, be loud and
right.
wave his arms, go home and stuff like that, eat him. That guy needs to be eaten. But if he does the move where they just... You know, that movie, Play Dead?
Right.
So there's two, by the way, there's a lot of range in advice, you know what I mean?
Sure, yeah.
People go, jump up and down and flap your arms and scream as loud as you can, or what else could I do? Or you just lay there motionless and see what happens. Like, wow, there's a lot of range in between. That ain't sprinting and jogging, that's sprinting and comatose. But anyway, my advice to the bear community would be, guy jumps up and down and flaps, eat him. Guy plays dead, have sex with him.
Oh!
Yeah, really send a message. Really send a message.
Wow!
Yeah, and then that guy would come back, you know, he'd come back home and his wife would be like, how'd it go? And he'd be like, I don't want to talk about it! And they'd go, how was camping? I didn't see a bear and he didn't have sex with me. That's a dragon. Now drop it already!
I hope they do invite you to address the bear to the
bear. It would be funny just to have the bears having sex. It'd probably do away with the play dead policy pretty quick.
I think that would probably so. Yeah.
All right, number two, maybe a little premature, but my daughter's already gone out and got her Halloween costume.
Okay.
And by the way, two. She has to have a backup. She has this one for, you know, Halloween. This one's for trick or treating. This one's for the party. It's like, she's hosting the goddamn Emmys over here. She's a backup for everything. But anyway, I just start thinking to myself, every year, it's the same thing. I don't know if you get it, Kevin, where you live. I get it where I live. The minivan pulls up, and all the kids from the crappy neighborhood pile out of it. And then they come over, and they take my Reese's peanut butter cups out of my kids' hands. And then they pile back into the minivan, and they go back to their crappy neighborhood. And this keeps a crappy neighborhood crappy.
Yeah.
I know this is going to sound cruel, but you should be forced to trick-or-treat in your own neighborhood so you can see just how crappy your own neighborhood is. You can see how it works, the people live there, so on and so forth. And by the way, you know, the three-year-old candy corn that comes out in a handful, or the popcorn balls that the drunken pedophile guys made and wrapped in foil. Live in your own neighborhood, trick-or-treat in your own neighborhood, and thus I bet your neighborhood would get a lot better. There'd be a meeting about how crappy this neighborhood is the day after every Halloween.
I got to ask, Adam, and let's be completely honest here, where did five-year-old Adam Carolla trick-or-treat?
I grew up in North Hollywood, so it was just, my parents wouldn't have driven us anywhere, so you could just, you know, we could have walked to Beverly Hills or Encino, but we just walked around our neighborhood. My mom was a health food nut, so she gave out walnuts.
Oh, that's such BS.
Walnuts in the shell, by the way, full walnuts.
Oh.
And she gave away raisins, black raisins in the carton. And it was always this thing where she would hand them out, she would throw them in everyone's basket, and there was always a little delay where the kids would walk down the driveway while they were assessing what they got with a little pumpkin flashlight or whatever they had. It was like, huh? What? Oh, jip, man. And then I would just sit in the house and count down until the house would get pelted with the walnuts. I was like, Mom, hand out something that's not such a good projectile next time. They get halfway down the driveway, and then they start throwing it all back at the house.
And rightfully so.
And rightfully so. Yeah. Who wants a walnut and raisins?
Zero
Nobody.
People.
Nobody.
All
well,
I'm
at least
saying
at
is,
least you practice what you preach. You actually did do what you're advising others to do, which is trick-or-treat their own neighborhood.
I'm telling you, in neighborhoods all over this city, on October 32nd, there would be meetings going on.
Yes, there would. Every October 32nd.
Every October 32nd, there would be gut check time meeting. Let's take a good look around this neighborhood. 10 a.m., October 32nd, right in the town square. All right, and number one, back at that time again, I've had the ceiling fan going for 5 months straight now.
Right.
And it's getting cool outside.
Uh-huh.
And it's time to turn off the ceiling fan.
Okay.
Because when I come in at night, my wife's asleep, I turn that thing on, and I just hear the faint noise coming from underneath the down comforter of, oh! And then I go, come on, it's the ceiling fan. And then she goes, it's cool outside, you don't need the ceiling fan. And then I go, you're covered by the cover. And then she goes, my forehead's cold. I go, your forehead, I have no, you put a cigarette out my forehead, I have no nerve endings in my forehead. What do you mean your forehead's cold? Then we get in an argument, but I can't help it. I'm a junkie. I'm hooked on this sound. And it'll be the dead of winter, and I'll still have that thing blowing. Here's the thing I just realized. All those stupid noisemakers you get at the Brooks Brothers and stuff, or whatever the
Brookstone,
Brookstone, yeah. And all that stuff you get, they don't have the right sounds. They have the sound of the ocean crashing against the rocks,
they
which I guess is fine if you're Tom Hanks and you pass out on a beach,
right?
Or they have the babbling brook or the rainforest. But here's the deal. I don't sleep in a rainforest. I rarely sleep in a rainforest next to a babbling brook. I need realistic sounds. The ceiling fan sound would save millions in kilowatts, and then I could go to sleep. I don't need the coolness. I need the sound. So anyone who invents one of those sound machines, do that. And by the way, get rid of the white noise. I don't even know what white noise is. I'm assuming it's just attorneys repeating the phrase at the end of the day.
I think it's AM radio static is what it is, and it's a terrible, terrible sound.
It. Ceiling fan setting, that's a big seller.
All right.
You can see Adam Carolla live on stage at the Brea Improv, and you should. Tickets available now at brea.improv.com with special guest Chris Titus. And by the way, Ace Man, as we say goodbye for another week, thanks to Kevin and Bean listener Jeremy, who writes in to remind you the assistant coach's name on the TV show Coach was Dauber. So you were right on.
Yeah.
Nicely done.
All right, man. Thanks for the time. We'll talk to you next time.
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. This is the Kevin and Bean Show at 9:40.
How has Listerine not bought the rights to that song
That's a
and
good
put
question.
It in a commercial?
Great question.
Listerine makes
Great
your
question.
Breath smell fresh. Listerine.
I can only guess that they haven't offered Gavin enough money yet.
Yeah.
Hey, speaking of great songs, dear Kevin and Bean, thank you, this email begins.
Nope.
You just made my morning perfect. Thank you for playing Halloween Spooks now that it's October.
It's the
Halloween, Halloween, ooh, Halloween. Ghostly things are gonna happen.
Not interested.
Ooh, ooh, ooh. Halloween Spooks outside my window. Behind the tree, I wish that the children could see
but I can't find them for the life of me. And there's Halloween spooks outside my window pane.
That isn't good for you.
This email from Rosie in Northridge, who says, you guys always play Halloween spooks. It's not Halloween season until I hear the song on your show. And I don't understand, Kevin. You love all things bad. This song is the worst ever. I thought you would be fan number one.
Right. That's pretty good logic. That's hard to argue with.
So, Rosie, happy to make your October official by playing Halloween spooks this morning here on the Kevin B. Show. Thanks for the note. Time now for the showbiz beat. Now, here's Ralph.
Survey says, you.
Kevin says, wrong voice.
I'm not Bean.
Kevin says, I hate all the silly, stupid sounds. And I hate that stupid, absurd. Yet, what does the fox say? Oh, I love that. That's the greatest song ever.
That is the best, actually.
So, what? Some noises are okay. Yeah. Some goofy sounds are okay. Some aren't.
I'll let you know. I'll let you know.
I think the problem is the fox noises are 2013 noises, and the Halloween spooks noises are 1960s noises. I think that's what's going on here.
I got you.
It's just dumb.
We got a Halloween event coming up. We're not really supposed to talk about it, I guess.
Yeah, no, we're not, but thanks for bringing it up.
Well, I'm not saying anything specific. I'm just saying you can look forward to some Halloween-y sort of event coming up this month. And I think maybe there should be like a live performance of Halloween spooks at that event.
I think that would be terrible.
Because I could work the harmonies out pretty well. Maybe we can get a couple other people in. Maybe all of us can pitch in and do like a live version.
Put Melfon back together just for Halloween spooks?
That was a pretty rough ending last year. Vocal group. Just sort of like a barbershop quartet-y kind of thing.
That'd be great somewhere else.
Well, Kevin loves scary music, so.
He does. I love scary movies. I love scary music. All of the scary, famous scary songs that terrify people.
I don't think you're using that word right.
All right, let's talk about showbiz news, shall we? Simon Cowell, he's got his baby mama, Lauren Silverman. They're still together, from what I understand. According to Star Magazine, he is done with his harem of women. Will no longer be seeing any of the other ladies. It's just baby mama. Till she has it. I had no idea, but he reportedly spent vacations with at least two of his exes every year.
So when he would go out on his yacht
or whatever, he would bring along two of his ex-girlfriends and treat them to a vacation. Has paid for several of their houses and put some of their kids through school.
Oh, my gosh.
I want to date Simon Cowell, too.
So dating Simon Cowell is like being a U.S. president. For the rest of your life, you get a title, you get a salary, you get protection. Sounds like a good deal.
It's like a 401k for your vagina. Just put in the work and you reap the benefits for years later. Awesome. Disney apparently very upset with the news that Zac Efron's a big cokehead. Star Magazine reports that some higher-up executives amongst the company are trying to figure out what's wrong with their stars.
What?
Well, they look back over their history. Shia LaBeouf, Britney Spears, Lindsay Lohan, Demi Lovato were all Disney darlings at one point, and they all had problems when they grew up with substance abuse and insanity and all kinds of issues. And Disney's going, what's going wrong with our kids? Is it us? What's going on?
I'd like to say it's not them. We've been told it's not them and everything they do is great.
It's not their fault at all. Right. However, I would suggest that maybe little children shouldn't have all the money in the world and no one to say no to them. That might be a bad formula.
Pretty good advice.
I think you're onto something. I think if you did a survey of kids of the same age who have tons and tons of money, you'd probably find many of the very similar problems.
Yeah. And look, there are legendary examples of kid stars turning out fine, but invariably when you research those stories, they always say, yeah, my parents were pretty strict with me. They didn't give me any of the money I was making. They put it in a trust fund. And I didn't get any special treatment. I had to do my homework and my chores when I got home and everything else. So No secret to the formula to raise kids that aren't douchebags.
See Justin Bieber? See that picture today?
Oh, yeah. Let's talk about that.
Security guards.
Online, Justin Bieber visiting China. Apparently, was too tired or didn't have the interest to actually walk himself up to the top of the wall of China. So he got on the shoulders of his bodyguards, and they carried him like a poobah. Like a sultan,
and they carried him up the stairs of the Great Wall of China.
You sound like an unbelievable douche.
He's like 19. He's too tired to walk up a flight of stairs.
Can you imagine being his security guards? How much that would suck?
When you're down in the scissor, you know, it makes you tired, I guess.
Why don't you walk, you little punk?
It's madness.
Gotta carry him.
And Bob Dylan's secret daughter's getting married next August.
His secret daughter?
He's got a secret daughter. Don't expect her dad to show up to the wedding either, by the way. New York Daily News says her name is Desiree Dennis Dylan. She's 27 years old. She is Bob's child with his second wife and former backup singer, Carolyn Dennis. Desiree was born in 1986. The couple split up in 1992. But Carolyn and Bob, her mom and dad, decided to keep her a secret so that she could have a normal childhood. They didn't want anyone to know, especially the press, that they had a child.
Wow.
Bob kept both of his wives a secret, too. Nobody even knew they were married for years and years and years.
So she's grown up out of the spotlight, and no one ever associated with her as being Bob Dylan's kid. And by all accounts, she's very happy. She is marrying her soon-to-be wife. It's a same-sex marriage, a musician named Kayla Sampson, and they're going to be married next August.
Why is Bob, I don't understand, why is Bob not coming to the wedding? He didn't publicly acknowledge her, but they don't have a good private relationship either?
Reportedly, it was not an amicable split between Carolyn Dennis and Bob Dylan, and it's been some acrimony there, apparently. In the
gotcha.
Family.
Plus, he looks like a scary homeless guy now.
Yeah, so that?
Who wants that in the wedding pictures?
Can you imagine the toast that that would
be? I hope we're speaking with Mr. Dylan tomorrow about it. I know that.
Not everything has to be a full-blown bit. Can't something just be a joke? Ew. Ew, see? Lazy glasses. Everybody's looking at each other.
They're like, what?
I don't understand. What is it? He said, I think he said, it's raining gases. I'm not sure.
Are we supposed to drink now or break a light bulb or what are we doing?
I'm confused. Is he still Jewish? Today's celebrity birthdays, Brie Larson. She's 24 years old today.
Hey, Ralph.
I'm going to get to it.
Okay.
I hear you, man.
Zach Galifianakis is 44 years old today, and Isai Morales turns 51. Randy Quaid of the acting Quaid family is 63 years old today. Before I get out of here.
All right, thank you, Ralph. Tomorrow morning.
No. Before I get out of here, I want to give away something pretty cool. Three winners are going to get the This Is The End Survival Kit. This is what you get.
Yay!
You get the Blu-ray DVD, since This Is The End is out on Blu-ray and DVD today. Very funny
movie.
Film starring James Franco and Jonah Hill and Seth Rogen. Here's what you get in the survival kit. It's a really cool, it comes in a very cool case, a customized carrying case. Inside it, you get the multifunctional flashlight and radio. It's got a crank on it, so when the world comes to an end, there's no batteries, electricity, you can still see.
The hour's coming.
It is. First aid kit, a waterproof pouch, a bottle of sunscreen, a roll of duct tape, one Milky Way bar, which if you saw the film, you know, plays large in that storyline, some Cinnamon Toast cereal, a bottle of water, a jar of Nutella. This is all the food that they had to eat there in James Franco's house when the world came to an end. And, of course, you also get the Blu-ray DVD, too. It's a very fun survival kit from This Is The End. Call right now, 1-800-520-1067. First three callers to get through at that number will get yourselves a This Is The End Blu-ray DVD and survival kit. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Thank you, Ralph. Tomorrow morning, all new Kevin and Bean Show. Comedian Doug Benson will be here. We're going to talk to Brian Deegan. We have Steve Ranazzisi. I guess. I don't know.
I don't know.
From the league, we have Joe Rogan in studio as well. Tomorrow morning on an all-new Kevin and Bean.